This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KU2GDQ. How are you on this rainy morning?
Yeah, it sounds like you and your equipment made it through the first round of the electrical storm. That was pretty wild there for a few minutes. In fact, I was debating, should I head out now? Should I wait for the rain to stop? And that went back and forth a few times, and it started to slow down, and it was well timed, so I made a run for it. And of course, now it's like next to nothing. But I think it's coming back. I think it'll be back again before noon.
Yeah, I think you're right. I did hear on the radio just recently we're expected some more storms. I just happened to be up when it first started, so I did disconnect my antenna from my radio, and then once it stopped, I reconnected, obviously. I really got to buy a lightning arrestor.
Yeah, when I had the vertical antennas up, which are still up, which is interesting, that I never had an issue when I had the setup at my parents' house years ago. And the antennas are still up there. They're just not hooked up to any radios. But those did have polyphasers at the entry point to hopefully short and go to ground in the event of a nearby lightning strike or direct lightning strike, if it can even handle that. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was in the shower and I heard this rumble. And I wasn't even thinking about the weather at all, and I look at the clock and it said 6:01. Now, this is not a smart clock tied to the internet, so it could be off. So maybe it's like right at 6 o'clock, and I'm thinking, oh, I better note that time, you know, if we start talking about it at work, you know, maybe there was an explosion at the local gas works or something. And, I remember that. I was in the shower that day. And then I get out of the shower, and then, of course, there's more thunder and lightning. I'm like, oh, okay, it's just a storm rolling through. But it's funny where my mind went for a few minutes there.
Yeah, I was up just finishing getting dressed when the first roll of thunder, and I could hear it, and I looked out the window, and I could see it flashing, and it was coming from, like, the southwest. It has been a while since I've heard some thunder and seen lightning. It's kind of, in a way, it's kind of cool, but I know how dangerous it can be.
Yeah, I was just watching, what was it, The Unbelievable something with Dan Aykroyd. Basically, he hosts a show where they talk about unbelievable, just hard to believe, but true stories. And in one of the stories that they had featured was the gentleman that got hit by lightning like 7 times and kept living. And that was a very interesting story. I think survived once, but you know, it seems like he was probably a glutton for punishment. I think he was a forest ranger, and he was in an area that was known for lightning, so I'm sure his job had him out there. But I wonder why, you know, it just worked out that way, and that he survived each time. It's quite a coincidence. And then that's what those stories were all about.
That Dan Aykroyd show sounds familiar. I think I might have watched that. But I've also, you know, seen shows where they talk about people that have survived a lightning strike, and sometimes they are just never the same, that it just really did things to their body that, or even high voltage shocks, that they were able to survive, but their body was never the same afterwards.
Yeah, that show is a series on the History Channel. And I think you can stream it for free. At least Lynn's able to pull it up. We watched that a few times. And it might have been part of the same episode, because it was a similar topic. there was a gentleman, I believe in India, who was able to hold on to the mains current, you know, probably 220 where they were, and he was able to make himself a conductor, and he didn't feel it, it didn't bother him. He's like putting the wires on his tongue and holding his fingers and holding the light bulb. You know, it kind of reminded me of an Uncle Fester kind of situation, but was actually at least, you know, documented that it was really happening. Something with his body allowed him to pass that current without experiencing damage, especially his heart. So something was different, and how does one identify that? That is something else in and of itself. Yeah, it's a cool show. If you can find that, through whatever any streaming services you have or YouTube, we enjoy it. Sometimes we just put it on when we just need to kill a little bit of time. But yeah, this is K2PCB.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
All right, sounds like Ross made it through as well. Good morning, sir.
Yep, good morning. Seems like today's topic is lightning or storms. So, fighting prior for today is pretty tense. There a little while ago, I was in the shower, and I can hear the rain hitting the back of the house. So it's coming down pretty good.
PC2NVM, it sounded like it could have been some hail, too.
Yeah, I don't, I guess it's possible. I was looking at 61 degrees. It's pretty warm for hail, but I guess it could happen. It happens down south, so yeah, it could be.
I think I doubled with you, Russ.
Or at least it sounded like hail. The raindrops were so big.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. I figured if it was hail, it was probably, a very small pea size, but it was last night even. It was coming down pretty good last night. So, again, it's not a lot of rain, but it's very intense that time.
Hopefully this rain will wash all the salt off the road and the automobiles.
Question is it the Gregorian calendar that's wrong, or is Mother Nature wrong? Because I don't think this is scheduled to start until tomorrow. April showers. April Fool's Day.
I don't think Mother Nature reads, so she probably doesn't know what a Gregorian calendar is.
I agree with Jeff. I hope all this rain washes all that salt off the roads.
So the wetness on the road, all the lights, the colors of the traffic lights, people's vehicles, and the fact that Scoops has their lights on, their outdoor patio lights. It actually looks pretty cool coming up central to Walden before turning out to Hinchy. It had a very, very cool, I'll stick with that, in quotes, kind of feeling. It was neat.
Yeah, I went by, speaking of lights, I went by Two-Rod. Two-Rod was a flashing red, so I wonder what happened there. I'm assuming it's storm-related.
Yeah, I rode through that as well, and it looked like all the power was on around that. Interesting.
I'm going to probably blame Tesla again. They probably caused the power to go out there for a little bit. So, since we're on the lightning topic, Brad, do you have any type of lightning protection on your setup?
No, I was mentioning that to Travis earlier. I really do have to get a lightning arrestor. And get this thing grounded. I did disconnect the radio when I came down as the thunder was rolling through, thunder and lightning. But yeah, it's definitely something I've got to put way up on the to-do list.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I never used to run them, and I've lost equipment from it, not putting one on. To lightning. Before I have the tower even, I had just like a little 10-foot pole off my shed. And even then I was losing some radios to lightning. So now I have the big tower. I'm like, well, I better really put one on there. So the tower's got one on it. And second one I had a Motorola, and it lives through thunderstorms now, so probably something I should have done a long time ago, so I would recommend it.
It's amazing how many people buy lightning arresters after the fact.
Well, Jeff, you think the opposite way of it. You figure if you don't ground it, it's not a good path to ground. You know, and it would be less of a chance of it taking a lightning strike, but you don't realize that it builds up static on the line, and that's what ruins your radio. And, you know, and then it's good to ground it. Very rare. I used to think, okay, grounding it, yep, you're going to give it a good path. It's going to want to hit it more, you know, more often, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
I think it's like the desire to buy life insurance when you're young versus the desire to buy life insurance when you're older and the premiums are higher.
You always got time for that.
Now too, so. Okay, to protect my investments and stuff, so, yep. Yep, definitely, yeah, that's definitely the way it rolls.
Now, thinking about antennas, Brad, did you ever get a chance to put the antenna analyzer on the antenna you have there? If you told me, I forget.
I did, and at 145 megahertz, I had a 1-to-1, and at 149 megahertz, it was 1.6-to-1, and then on the 70-centimeter band at 440, it was 1.2, and then at 446, it was 1.3-to-1. So, overall, the antenna performs pretty well.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, and then if you're going to move it, I know you're talking about changing its position. Obviously, you want to redo all that, though it shouldn't change too much, if at all. I know at some point, definitely not this week. But at some point, I'd like to put that analyzer on that that chameleon antenna and see how that thing tunes up on various bands. Definitely no rush, though. Not heading out anytime soon. I think I'm booked up for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, sure. I've been meaning to ask you when you want me to return your equipment. I'm hoping this week to build a 70-centimeter Yagi. I've got all the parts. My daughter has a PVC pipe cutter that I'm getting today from her, so I can do square cuts. The last one, a couple of cuts weren't exactly square, so there's a little bit of a tilt there. So I want this one to be better. And so get that built this week and then test it. And then, anytime you're ready, just let me know. I can drop it off at lunch or after work or whatever.
It's no rush. And if you're building it, definitely hold on to it. My mind is more of a curiosity. In fact, when I'm running it and depending on how it auto-tunes, I can get a feel for it anyway, whether it's good to go. And if it tunes, then I just run with it. I did mention when we were talking about antennas, Ross mentioned actually, that I could borrow his, and I don't even know what I'm going to get out next, so no rush at all. And if you're planning an antenna build, yeah, just hold on to it. Hold on to it and use it. Okay, I've got 644, so I'm going to make this my final. I'll listen out for a moment or two, and then I'm going to run, especially now that it's not raining. This is K2PCB.
All right, 73s, good night all. Brad, we'll see you later on today. Everyone else, we'll see you on the inside.
73s to you both. Have a great day. And I won't be there tonight, Jeff. I've got a dinner engagement for the Engineering Society of Buffalo that I have to attend. So shoot well. Be safe. So, Ross, since I'm in front of the computer and looking at lightning arresters, I see that there are different ones for different frequency ranges and different wattages.
You probably want to get your, most of them I thought were mostly full banded. I got the ones I have, I have the polyphasers. I went and bought the good one. I mean, they're all good. I think they do the same job. But the ones I have, they're they have less loss. I think that's more important. And, yeah. I think some are strictly made to go up, like, higher in the gigahertz range. You don't really need those. And I'm assuming those are probably more expensive. But, yeah, go get, something with, VHF, UHF, probably HF, too. They should all do all the bands. And, like I said, High Phase is a good one. I know there's a couple other off-brands in there. I know MJF makes one. Do some of your shopping and get the one with the less lock, probably, and the covers the bands that you want.
I see one at HRO, Polyphaser IS50NXC0, but it says it has N female, so that means I'd have to buy N-type connectors instead of the SO or the PLs that I've got, right?
You keep searching. They do make ones with the PL259 on them, too. They have to make the different connectors, but, yeah, if you want to go with the less loss, that would be the N-connector style. Keep looking. You should find some with the SO239 on them.
Okay, I'll keep looking. And the only reason I would do that is just because that's the connectors I have, because where the cable comes in the house, and I'm going to put the lightning arrester, I could put end connectors on it. I could just buy them, and that wouldn't be a problem, because I'm going to have to cut the cable anyway. You know what I mean?
Yep, I know what you mean. Like I said, the end style connectors are less lossy, like I said, but you could definitely, like I said, buy ones of SO239. I mean, either way, I don't have any problems with that until you start getting into the UHF bands and higher up. If you're ever going to do that kind of work, that's where the end connector would start to shine a little bit better. VHF and lower, not so much.
Okay, that makes sense. The end connector is for higher frequencies. I don't know if I would. Well, you never know. If I do, I can change things, right? I never thought about going up into the gigahertz range for ham radio, but I know that there are people that do.
Yeah, plus if you're going to be running UHF through that antenna, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea. And also, while you're at it, maybe, if you're going to move your antenna, maybe playing a whole shebang, you can bury the cable, put the lightning arrester on, and move your antenna. You know, if you want to buy that tree you're talking about, you'd probably do that. Take a day to do that. That'd be a pretty big project, but it's something you might want to think about doing.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I'd do that all at once. But you always want your lightning arrester just before it comes in the house, correct? You don't want it at the antenna, right?
Oh, yeah, that's recommended. I guess to avoid any, I guess if you have it at the antenna, I mean, it'll work there, but you take the risk of it hitting, something at your house where the lightning arrester isn't, and then it's going to want to follow either, worst case scenario, take your equipment, or it will backtrack through the coax and burn up your coax. Hopefully, closer to the house, it will take everything just safely past the ground and shouldn't have to worry about it.
All right. I did find at DX Engineering SO239 connectors and the N male and N female. There's a whole bunch of data sheets here. I think I found the right spot to buy them. I know that the prices, they're a little bit pricey, but when you consider eventually I'm probably going to have a lot more expensive equipment, who wants to lose equipment and then potentially a fire in the house, right?
Yep, and plus furthermore, I think that those will get you better waterproofing. You won't have to worry as much for like I said, for water getting into those connectors, it'll be better waterproof.
Oh, that's right, yeah, I'm going to have to waterproof these. There's special tape out there, right, that I should wrap the ends with?
Yeah, Value carries it. I think you can buy that locally. It's like a flex tape. It's super sticky, but it's sticky on like both sides, and it will it'll seal up, you know, really good, and that's something that overlaps itself, and you'll get a very good watertight seal with that. And like I said, you only would have to do that once and forget about it, hopefully, for the most of your ham radio career. I know I did that with my antenna up on the tower, obviously, because I don't want to keep climbing the tower all the time. So I did that with the coax on the antenna at the top of the tower, and I've had been up there for years, and I haven't had to worry about any water or anything getting into it.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely moved up on the priority list. I need to get this done one way or another. Even if I don't move the antenna right now, if I just make it so that I have the lightning arrestor right here at the house, that would be one good step. And then, you know, if I knew move the antenna, I'm going to have to put another cable on it anyway, and that would be a good chance. I'm going to upgrade my cables. I think the next one, the better one, LMR 400 is probably the best. But I think, what is it, RG8 is a better cable than the RG58?
You are correct. Definitely LMR 400. That's what I have on my tower. I have the real fixed off. It's the 1-inch. Obviously, they go with the theory of the thicker the cable, the better, the less the loss. That's what I have on the tower, obviously. When I did that tower, I did all out. I just said, you know, I'm not going to skimp on quality or anything. So I did everything right to the max, or the best thing I can get for it right, you know, at the time. And I paid a little bit extra for stuff, but it's held up. So, yeah, I know they do make a... I haven't kept up on my coaxes. They do make, like, the better, less loss. It's actually got like a copper shielding on it. It's not a copper mesh. It's actually more like a copper loom. And that, I think that's really good. And it's not much thicker than RG58, but I think it has a lot less loss than that. It might even be better than the RG8, I think. I have to look online.
Yeah, I was looking online not too long ago. Probably a month or so ago, or maybe it's longer than that now, and looking at the differences between the cables, which had the less loss, and cost, obviously, if I'm getting into long run, you know, cost starts to really pile up. So I was looking at all that, and I think the RG8 was like a good compromise between cost and loss.
Yeah, now I think about it, I think TimeWave, if you look at their website, I think they actually have, you know, good deals on coax. I think they carry various types and make various types. That'd be something to look at, too. But, all right, Brad, I like to chat, but it's that time again for me. Okay, gotta get in there. So, KD2GDQ, this is KC2PDT. Happy coax shopping, or in lightning arrestor shopping, and I will... talk to you tomorrow, 73.
73 to you, Ross. Again, thanks for all the advice and help. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. That's KC2PET. This is KC.